Most of you would not know Adrian. Adrian is a church planting curate at St. Barnabas Church. So he's come to St. B's for 2 years, is it? As a curate, is it two or three? 3 years. Yeah, oh, that's good. For 3 years as a curate. And the aim is for him to go out from St. Barnabas after 3 years and plant a new church somewhere in the North London area. Is that right? I got that right? It's not right.
No.
What bit have I got wrong?
Be sooner than that, probably.
Oh, right, sooner than 3 years.
Yeah, I'm still there for 3 years, but I'm basically looking probably, I don't know, 6 months or so.
Right, okay, so you can go out and say, oh, right, so we are getting rid of you quicker then. Ah, God is good. He's a great guy, and thank you for coming today, Adrian. Just want to pray. Father, we thank you for Adrian. Thank you for what you've laid on his heart to bring to us this morning, Lord. And Father, I pray you come by your Holy Spirit now and just anoint him, Lord, that he may preach your word in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, great. Well, I tell you, I thought that worship was amazing, didn't you? It was. I've got to say, I was really relieved because when Mike told me earlier that you were doing some worship and it was a new band and stuff, I had absolutely my heart dropped because I thought, oh no, Mike's going to sing, isn't he? And I've heard him sing, you know. So I was absolutely petrified for you guys. But actually, that was really amazing. I love the sense of the spirit moving in the place. He's talking away at the back. You can't shut him up, can you? Even when he's not talking, he's still talking. So it was absolutely amazing, and I loved it. I do have to be careful when I come to new churches, because I've got a bit of a reputation, if I'm honest. I went to a new church when I was a new church plant I was involved in Watford. I'm from Soul Survivor in Watford previously. And they said, oh, go to this new home group. And I was like, okay. And they said, they gave me the address. It was 69 Chester Road. I thought, great, got it. So I got in my car, started driving, and I was halfway there to Chester Road, and suddenly went, oh, I've forgotten the slip of paper. So I remember, it's 96 Chester Road, I've got it. So I went off to that house and knocked on the door, and this strange guy answered the door. Really strange, he wasn't very warm and welcoming at all. Because he kind of looked me up and down and went, what do you want? And I said, I'm here for the meeting. Oh, the mic's fallen off. That's what the problem was. Thank you. That's a bit better, isn't it? There we go. And, so I said, I'm here for the meeting. And he looked at me rather strangely and he went, well, you better come in then. So I walked in, Julie. I had a huge Bible, because I was a fairly new Christian at the time, huge Bible under my arm, sat down, and just waited for this cell group, this home group to start. And they were running around getting teas and coffees together. I thought, yeah, they're obviously getting the social bit right, but they're not very talkative, not very nice. And halfway through that time, I suddenly just realised they were bringing boxes in and putting them in the middle of the floor and running out again. And it was only when they started opening the boxes up that I realised where I was at. I was actually at an Ann Summers party. You have never seen someone leave a room so fast as all those knickers were cut. Actually, you know about knickers, don't you? It wasn't your party, was it? No. I know what you're like. I've heard about those knickers stories and stuff. So it was, I got out really fast. But it's a really great pleasure to be here. No, it really is a pleasure to be here. And as I was praying about what to speak about this morning, I heard a passage given to me by Mike. And do you know what? As I read it, I just thought, I'm not sure this is what I'm supposed to be talking about. So I said to God, you know, what do I do? And he said, well, we'll speak to Mike and see if it's okay to change it. So I did. And what I sensed God was basically about the breath of God. And the breath of God moving on this place. I sense God's just got a new thing he's about to do with you guys. A new exciting thing. And he's going to breathe new life into this place. Are you ready for that? Sounds good, huh? So let's watch the video first, because we do have some scripture, but it's just on video. And then we'll go from there.
It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came, stood among them.
Peace be with you.
After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again,
Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you.
Then he breathed on them.
Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
It was late that Sunday evening, and
I don't know about you, that really resonates with me. And if you look at the disciples, where they were at that time, you know, it said earlier on in that passage that they were locked away in the room. They were fearful. There was just, everything had gone wrong for them, hadn't it? Everything had gone wrong. They thought they were with the Messiah and he was going to do amazing things, and then suddenly he was dead. And life was just going wrong for them. And then they started hearing rumours about God, Jesus being alive again. And then he just walks into the room. And he walks up to them and says, Peace be with you. And that's in John 20, 19 to 23. My wife's telling me to say the passage name. Yeah. Wives. And it's just, you know, that moment where Jesus said, Peace be with you. And then he breathed on them. He breathed on them. And that's the bit I want to look at today, is the breathing on them. And what, you know, what do we do? How do we get involved with that? And what is God doing there? And what was Jesus doing there? So they were actually full of fear. There was this whole thing of all our hope is gone. Everything we hoped for has disappeared. And then suddenly this breath just comes on, and there's a change. And I don't know about you. Where are you at the moment? Where are things, are you needing change at the moment? Are you hopeful for something new to come? Are you waiting for God to do something new in your lives? As I was praying, I sensed that. As I was praying for this this whole time together, I just sensed that God was just saying there's some job situations that God wants to deal with. There's some health issues, and we obviously heard some today that God wanted to deal with as well. He wanted to breathe on those situations. There's some relationship issues that God wants to deal with as well, where relationships have fallen down and broken down. But more than anything, also, I felt God just saying that he wants to prepare you to send you out as a church. And it was great hearing about you going doing the prophetic evangelism on the streets. I love a bit of evangelism on the streets. It's so good. If you've never done it, go do it. It's such good fun. Such good fun. And to see God doing stuff is amazing. And I just sensed God was saying, this is a new season where you'll be going out into the streets and doing stuff. Going out into community, retaking the word of God, the power of God with you, and moving in power. The Jesuit Carl Rainer says, if the Western Church does not rediscover its mystical roots, we might as well close the doors of the churches because they have lost the primary reason for their existence. I don't know about you, but I think that's so true. We are called to be otherly in our way. We're called to be different, aren't we? We're called to be different. We're called to be people that actually show people that God is real. And step out and just do, you know, great exploits in his name. And I sense that God's saying that that's where he's going to take you. But first of all, there's some things he wants to do here inside first, in this place. In the actual original reading there, we had the Passion Translation says that there was Jesus breathed deeply and then blew out on them. And I sense God was just saying about that. There's,
You know, there's times where we meet God's presence, we feel God's presence, but then there's a point where he just breathes deeply and goes, and really touches us in a deeper, newer way. Are we wanting that? Are we hungry for that? Yeah. I am. And a lot of the disciples were sailors. And there's a phrase about being in the doldrums. Has anyone ever heard that phrase? Yeah? Can anyone tell me what it's about? Go for it. Say again.
Middle of the Atlantic where there's no wind.
Yeah, it's the middle of the Atlantic where there's no wind. So the actual expression is basically all about where they're trying to sail and they've got no wind. Now, in those days, that was pretty critical, right? Because they had sails, so you wouldn't get anywhere without the wind. You had to row everywhere. And it's kind of like that's where the church has got to today. It's become static because it actually isn't necessarily always moving in the power of God like it should be. But I believe that's about a change. I believe that's about a change. We are going to start moving in the power of God far more. Far more. I'm just praying for that for North London. I don't know about you. I want to see God moving in power in our streets, God doing stuff and reaching out and changing lives right, left and center. See, the disciples moved from this place of fear to this place of boldness. And Richard Rohr says that he believes that this moment that we've just been listening to was the moment where they started to change. Yes, Pentecost came along afterwards, and that was another level up, if you like. But this was the turning point for all the disciples, because this was the point where Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit for the first time in a individual way. And the breath that he breathed was no ordinary breath. It's not like me going up to one of you and breathing. I probably wouldn't do that to any of you, but it's not like me just going up and breathe. This was the breath of God. And the breath of God is powerful. In both the Greek and the Hebrew, the translation for this would be either ruach, I'm probably going to get this wrong, or the pneuma. I'm looking at the Greek over there thinking I'm bound to get told off later for pronouncing it all wrong. A lot of help you are. Yeah. Nevma. Ah, okay, there you go. Why didn't you know that? Just go back to your underwear. Yeah, is that what it is? So that meant wind, the breath, or the spirit. Yeah? So it literally, he was breathing on them, the breath, the wind, or the spirit of God. Now, some theologians think actually this was demonstrative of the Pentecostal moment. But actually, I think it was more than that. And a lot of other theologians do believe that as well. It was actually an actual empowering. It was a bestowing of the Holy Spirit on them at that point. And as we know, with the breath of God, it is either creative or destructive, depending on where you're coming from. So it was destructive in terms of, for example, with the Egyptians. In Exodus, it talks about the breath of God opening the waves and then closing the waves over the Egyptians. But it also talks in Genesis about the breath of God giving life. Literally, God making the man out of the dust and breathing on him and breathing into him and creating life. And we also need to see that actually there's another passage that says, and I'm trying to find it in the moment, that if God was to, oh, it's in Job 34, that if God was to will it, he could just take everybody's breath, like that, and we would just fall like dust again. You see, the breath of God is powerful. And when we've received the breath of God in a fresh and powerful way, we can then take that out and reach out to people in the streets. A group of us went out on the streets actually a little while ago from St. Barnabas, and we had this most amazing encounter. We met this guy called Emeka, and he was just sitting there having a cup of coffee, and we went up to start speaking to him. And as we were speaking to him, we started having words for him and saying about this was going on in his life, about his family and several different things. There was some quite specific words, and he literally was blown away by the presence of God, crying his eyes out, And he said, I've got to, I don't know what to do. He started going to Alpha. He's now on our Alpha course and has really met with God in a new way. Whether he's becoming a Christian yet, I don't know, but he's certainly on his way. And that was just one encounter, one breath encounter. And that's what we need to be looking for, isn't it? That's what we need to be looking for. And it's, we've got another video clip now, and it's actually about Narnia. And if you know the story of Narnia, I love this bit that we're about to see. Because what you actually see is the breath of Aslan. Let's see that. You see, C.S. Lewis knew what it was about the breath of God. He knew that it breathes life into people and it changes people's lives in an instant. And I just believe that as we start moving in this thing, in the streets, in our workplaces, we will start to see people's hearts that are cold and frozen like Tumnus is there, to be warmed. And strangely warmed, as the scripture uses it, isn't it? Strangely warmed. I remember when I was in hospital several years ago. I literally had this lump grow my neck suddenly one day. And went to the doctors, and they said, look, you need to go to the hospital straight away. And I went to the doctors. I went to the hospital, and they did some tests on it. And I had a clinical radiologist, a consultant, look at this. And she said, you see that there? And she was showing me on the screen. And she said, as far as I can see, that's a solid lump. I'm pretty sure that's a solid lump. And she got another consultant as well and had another look. He had a look at it as well. And he concurred. So it was just like, oh, my goodness. Am I going to die? Was my thought. Because I knew instantly that they were talking about something pretty serious. And I thought, am I going to die? And I literally did like a Hezekiah moment where I was just like laying on my bed going, God, I'm not ready to die yet. I'm not ready to die yet. There's more to do. So much more to life. No. So anyway, I then started to say, okay, God, what are you doing in this time? And I got chatting to this young guy, and he was talking, he was obviously in for some sort of procedure, but he was talking about all the things he'd been doing over that weekend, how he'd got into these parties and been taking drugs and all sorts of things. And as I was just talking to him, I just felt God speak to me. And I just felt God say that he, his family were all Christians, and he was the only one that wasn't a Christian. And in fact, his grandmother died 18 months ago. And she was praying for him, even now in heaven, that he would become a Christian. So I told him this, and his face just was like, and he just then turned around to me and he said, you know what, I think it's time I went back to church. I think it's time I went back to church. You see, when we have a word that speaks into people's lives, it changes things in an instant. And, I mean, actually what happened is I then went to see a consultant the next day. And is anybody squeamish here? Because I won't go into details, but I'll go into details anyway. It's fun. And what happened was he got like this grabber in this needle, and he just sort of tried to grab a sample of this thing. Sorry, there's a lady going very squeamish at the back there, sorry. And literally, they were trying to do that, and suddenly, there was nothing there. It was just fluid. So they went from saying that there was this pretty certain lump to nothing being there the next day. Was that God or what? I think it was. I think it was God. We need to be looking for what God is doing. And just working in it, walking in it. And I don't know about you, but I just sense God wants to move. I think God wants to move. So I'm not going to spend much more time speaking. I just want to see what God wants to do, shall we? Who's up for that? Great. I just want to pray for you guys, because I just sense God wants to do some stuff. So will you just stand? And let's just be still before the Lord.